Hello and welcome to Access Astrology. We are three astrologers who are so fascinated by how astrology unfolds in our daily life. I'm Heather Rowan Robbins, and I'm speaking to you from the banks of the Mississippi River in Minnesota, in St. Paul, Minnesota tonight. And normally I am joined by Mark Waltz and Anne Ortley from New York, and they may yet call in tonight. We have tonight some interesting transits. Welcome to September. This is September 3rd. The Sun opposed Neptune last weekend, and I don't know about you, but I felt pretty foggy over Labor Day weekend. Foggy, intuitive, introspective, wandering, as that Sun opposed Neptune. Really wonderful time to be in our dream world and have a last moment of summer. A little confusing if we're with relatives and the signals get crossed. I hear some people had trouble drinking heavily over the weekend. That's another negative form of Neptune. Some people were mad at themselves because they didn't get their to-do list done. They didn't get enough done. It's Virgo season, and Virgo is about the work that we need to bring into the fall. But no, with the Sun opposed Neptune, much of that was blocked. Even if we were trying to be busy, it may have taken three trips to the hardware store to get just what we needed in order to get on with the work, because we were supposed to take the time off. The Moon in Scorpio conjunct Saturn and Mars and brought up some of the deepest emotional issues. The ground is stirring at a very, very deep level. So I think this is Mark. Mark, are you there?
Hello, Heather.
Hi.
Introduce yourself.
We were just getting going on the planetary feelings of the moment. I was talking about the broody weekend.
Okay.
So where are you calling from?
From New York City. This is Mark Waltz. And,
wonderful.
Let's all remember there are some famous people born under Virgo.
Oh, yes.
I think there's one with a birthday coming up really soon.
Like tomorrow.
Happy birthday, Heather.
Thank you. I'm thinking about good things about famous Virgos throughout history, from Sean Connery and Sophia Loren, if people think Virgos are stuffy and difficult. I think of Pink as a wonderful example of a rock and Virgo moon in Aries. Otis Redding, Jesse James. Those are some of the better, more exciting, interesting Virgos over the years. But it's when I think of Virgo, I think of
That's it. Good
the,
for you.
The
yeah, all
Labor
all
Day.
Of you Virgos.
I see Virgo, the Labor Day weekend, how do we celebrate Virgo, all that Virgo industriousness, by taking time off.
Right.
By taking a break. How good that feels. We can really honor the workers of the world uniting and let everybody have a moment of rest before we really dive into the work season ahead. I think it's really interesting. What a perfect Virgo holiday. Don't you?
Yeah. Yeah, very much.
What did you do over the weekend?
Actually, swam in a lake up north.
How beautiful.
Yeah.
That's the Sun-Neptune opposition.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly. Got to get that Neptune. So...
That's
yeah,
wonderful.
Yeah, Sun-Neptune opposition.
Mm-hmm.
I have that natally, you know.
Oh, do you? Tell me what it feels like to you.
Feels okay to me, but... but a lot of other people...
How do you find that other people experience it?
Yeah, they do, actually. A lot of times people find it hard to recognize just exactly who the person is that has that.
Right.
Tune up, is it some? Is it? It sort of puts a fog over it.
Mm-hmm.
My best way to explain it is the way that I I once, I think my father asked me why I was doing something. And I said, well, I feel like I know exactly where I'm going. It's like flying an airplane, but most of the time I'm in a cloud, and just once in a while I pass between clouds, and I can see the ground clearly below me, but otherwise I'm in a fog, you know.
And operating with all of your radar out, you know, when ordinary perception doesn't work, good pilots use their extraordinary perception, all of their radar equipment. And I think that Neptune fog over the weekend asked us to do the same thing. Ordinary understanding wasn't going to really give us direct information. So we had, it was a good time to extend our psychic antenna to listen, to try to pierce the fog with facts, with information, you know, rather than projection. This is one thing you got to watch out with Neptune. When you're in those foggy places, you can see just fine as long as you stay in the moment and look at what's right here, right now. You can see things more clearly than ever. But when you look too far ahead or too far behind, you just see your imagination projected.
Yeah, that happens. And there's also a heavy sense of empathy when Neptune opposes the sun, because it tends to pull people out of the individual ego and into a vantage point where they see how everyone is affected. So it's a highly empathetic
It is.
Time.
Opening up all, that's not a bad way to begin the fall, is a remembering how we feel and remembering our sense of empathy, is it?
Right.
It's a little slow off the start. But this week we need to kind of wind up fast. I mean, Mercury is now in Libra, so it'll be easier to communicate and connect with people than it has been for a while. It's moving into a square with Pluto, just about time for 9/11, as our thoughts, you know, in America come back every year when the sun today, you know, is trining Pluto, and soon Mercury will be squaring Pluto. That heaviness that we remember with 9/11 that kind of brings up all the questions about what do we do in the face of life and death. That, you know, footage of the ISIS team beheading another American, bring back. So it will be Pluto's job is to look at it squarely. What's the right use of power? How do we do it? How do we use it well? So we've got these tougher, bigger aspects. But just this week, with Mercury in Libra and the moon's in Sagittarius, now it's in Capricorn, it's time for us to kind of line up the fall efforts to get our workshops moving, to get our schedule in line, because Mercury turns retrograde through most of October. It's good to get it in place now. And speaking of which, Mark, we want to talk a little bit about the workshop that we're putting on in March?
March, early March, 6, 7, 8, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Friday, Saturday, Sunday. We're doing a workshop on reading relationships.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it's a hands-on workshop, so you'll have charts that you bring in, and you work with how to interpret relationships, what's going on with them, and how to use those interpretations in sitting with another person talking about a relationship that's important to them. And that's relationships that have to do with romance and partnering. It's also relationships between you and a partner in business or you and a boss. It's any kind of relationship.
Any kind of interactions.
Yeah.
Because our life is woven of interactions. And that's the, you know, it's when we're studying astrology, first we need to understand our own charts and then our charts relating to this moment of history and then our charts relating to other charts, you know, because we begin to see, it's the language of connection. It's how things are woven together. And so when we look at our chart in relationship to another chart, we know more about our own chart too. We know more about what, you know, how we were trained to connect, you know, how do our Mars and Venus get along? How does our Sun and Moon get along? What was our love map as a child? And then how do we map and balance that with another person's chart and their love map? It's an interesting process, and I'm really looking forward to it. So that'll be, you know, if you want to contact Ann Ortley, I believe, is doing most of the organization for that. And on our Blog Talk Radio Access Astrology page is her email address, but you can contact any of us if you want more information about that March workshop in New York City.
Good.
I'm doing an intensive in astrology, beginning astrology, the weekend after this, if anybody wants to come to Minneapolis. And we're doing at the Eye of Horus bookstore. You can go to their website and find out the information. We'll do a 3-day beginner's intensive experiential workshop.
Wow.
Mark, do you have something coming up?
Well, we have Ann and I meet every Tuesday evening at 7 at the Open Center, actually the Church of the Transfiguration, which is adjoins the Open Center. So you come to the Open Center and ask, and they'll send you right on through. And it's every Tuesday in New York. And that's fun.
That's exciting.
Different topic every week. And,
yeah.
You know, it's all
astrology. I miss speaking with you all every week. We get to do it here, thank goodness.
Right.
And when I'm in New York, I get to join you all, which is a great joy.
Right.
So the rest of this week, the moon is in Capricorn tonight. It will be in Capricorn tomorrow and the next day for my solar return. And, you know, it's really the moon in Capricorn always nags us to get back to work. You know, but we need to stop and be not overwhelm ourselves with a to-do list this week, but to really congratulate ourselves on how far we've come and then be willing to take it into the next, you know, to take the steps that we need to make things happen. It's a really good couple of days for planning and organizing and getting to work. And then the moon in Aquarius on the 5th, Venus enters Virgo and gets out of Leo, which I think will help turn down the volume in some of the great emotional dramas of the summer and let people move into a more compassionate, heart-centered place as long as we don't get difficult.
Mm-hmm. Some people will miss the drama.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But for most of us, we could use a little break from it.
Mm-hmm. And, but Virgo is an earth sign, and it is quite a sensual sign. It's just not, and it feels intensely and deeply. It's just not as emotionally melodramatic. So it more like implodes than explodes. So work with that with the Virgo. Show that you care by doing something for somebody, something that brings them about health or care or just feeling cared for, and you will watch how that drops them into their heart. And you'll probably see a lot of conversation in the news about health and health concerns, and because Virgo is the sign of Florence Nightingale, and thinking about how do we digest our food better for the year ahead. And the moon goes into Aquarius over the weekend. Good weekend. A lot of churches are gathering together this weekend for the first time, you know, all summer, and a lot of other organizations are meeting. It's Pagan Pride here in the Twin Cities. And gathering with communities that you haven't seen in a while with that, and getting yourselves organized for the year ahead as under that Aquarius moon. Then early next week is the full moon in Pisces. How do you feel about the full moon in Pisces, Mark?
That's it's another big marker in the fall.
Mm-hmm.
And it brings up again the empathy
mm-hmm.
situation. Full moon
mm-hmm.
in Pisces. It makes the world aware of everyone who in
mm-hmm.
any way is suffering or has less than others. So
mm-hmm.
At this time of year, as we when during the point where the moon is opposite the Virgo sun, that's when each fall we get that full moon in Virgo, and the moon is in Pisces, the sun is in Virgo, and it raises that question of who's doing without, and what can we do to make life better for them. So there's a strong note that comes in, and it's good to take advantage of it. You use it yourself to become aware of people you hadn't been thinking of, or maybe hadn't even noticed. You know, it's a time when you might notice someone who has been doing without. And
That's well put. And to be kind to yourself if you're feeling extra sensitive. The trick will be to be, as you said, to be more, as sensitive about other people's feelings as we are of our own under that full moon. Some interesting comments on work. Two articles that I saw this week. Again, Virgo's gift is an analysis, and then we have to figure out what to do with the information. But there's two interesting articles that talk about the continuation of racism and sexism in the workplace, and they, from an interesting perspective. One was an article on transgendered people in the workplace who have changed genders so easily, I mean, so completely that a lot of people didn't know they had changed genders. They just thought they were what they were, and how they noticed people's perception of them in the workplace had changed. There's one scientist who produced a paper, and the comment from one professor was, oh, that was an excellent paper. You know, Ben did such a great job. Ben is, of course, a much better scientist than his sister, Brenda. And Ben was Brenda. All right. And, but the perception changed. One who had gone from female to male mathematician, she says now when she questions people, they assume she knows what she's doing, whereas when she was female and she questioned them, they assumed that she didn't understand. And all this, there's some really interesting how, you know, that when men had changed to female, their careers slowed or stalemated. And when females changed to males, their careers usually took off, which was an interesting point about the lingering layers of sexism there. So instead, and the usual complaint that you can't be sure that the woman wouldn't, you know, waste your investment and take off time to have a baby doesn't apply here. So that points out that is useless. Just interesting the way the response to the other was an article. And Virgo analysis and Libra, the next sign, with Mercury in Libra right now, we want fairness. We want to make this better. There was an article by a man, Jose Zamora, who had filled out every application every morning that he could find online that he might be applied for and never got a call about an interview. So he changed, he took out the S in his name and became Joe Zamora instead of Jose Zamora. And the next day, his inbox was filled. It was exactly the same resume. He just left the S out of his name. And it suddenly, you know, and they mentioned that the unconscious or conscious racism, that people with black or Hispanic sounding names, or probably, you know, clearly Native American sounding names, tend not to get the callbacks.
Yeah.
So what can we, like, so now that we get conscious about that, to be, you know, people often say it's, you know, oh, that's done, and it's so not. And how do we, that the Virgo asks us to analyze this in our lives, where do we notice these unconscious patterns, and Libra, how can we make them more fair? So it's an interesting part of the process. We've got a couple of callers online. I'm going to give out the number again. We've got 10 more minutes, 347-215-8881. And when you're on, press 1 to raise your hand. Now, we have one person, 585, that you're on the air, but you haven't raised your hand. You haven't pressed the 1, so It doesn't look like you want to be on. So I'm going to call the answer the next one. If you have called recently, we may ask you to wait and we'll go on to the next one. So, hello, you're on the air. How can we help you?
Hi there.
Yes.
Hello.
Hi there.
Hello.
Hi.
How are you? And what's and when were you born and what is your question?
June 6, 1978.
Time?
Mm-hmm.
What time were you born?
1:15 p.m.
And where?
In Hungary.
Okay. And I think we've talked to you before, and when, it's been a while. And what's your question tonight?
Well, I just lost my dad a couple of weeks ago, and we had just had the funeral, and I just returned back to Canada where I live now, and it seems like it's my first full day back. And I just seem like everything has literally just fallen apart, and I don't know. You know, I would love to see if there's anything you can offer at this time moving forward in, you know, from professional to personal life and all that. I just seem like I can't find myself.
Of course you can't.
Yeah.
And you know, are you giving yourself grieving time? We talked about how the aspects this weekend were so emotional for anybody. Not even somebody who just lost their father. And your progressed moon will come to conjunct Pluto in about 2 months. So I would ask you to really not expect much of yourself for the next 2 months, particularly not for the next 2 weeks while the moon is in Scorpio, while Mars is still in Scorpio. When Mars goes into Sagittarius, a mood lifts and your Mars will go into your third house and you'll feel like communicating more and doing more.
Mm-hmm.
But for the next 2 weeks, put yourself in emotional first aid. You know, take good care of yourself, tuck yourself in, let yourself dream a lot, sleep a lot, let the subconscious do the work. You know, someone described, one therapist, when you lose a parent, no matter how you feel about the parent, your whole interior landscape shifts. It's like an interior earthquake. Even if they have been, and my mother was in a coma for the last month of her life, and there was still a major, and so she wasn't a part of my life, for better or for worse, but there was still a major shift when she actually left. So even though you looks like you've been doing some processing ahead of time, the next 2 months, are you need to give your psyche a lot of room to reorganize. You know, it's only very recently that we've asked people to do anything at all the first 6 months after they lose a major family member. You know, when you went into mourning, people left you alone. So let yourself be in mourning for the next, I would say, 9 weeks, if you can. 2 weeks on full on, the next 9 weeks, keep your expectations low. And you may feel like you don't know if you're going to let go of your home, let go of your life, and you won't know until you get on the other side what is just the mourning and what is a decision that you need to make. Mark, what do you feel about the moon, progressed moon coming to conjunct Pluto?
Yeah, it's... when you have a deep loss at that time, it brings you really into the deepest feeling that you have for family and your family connection. Mm-hmm. And there's you feel it very personally. It's a very personal sense of loss. It's not, you know, it's not just that we've lost my father. It's that I lost my father. And so you'll feel that. It's, you know, very, very deep. And you'll feel it, but you can also use it because it allows you to feel on that deepest level what family means to you and what your father represented to you and how it's important in your life. And that's something that you might not feel in the same way had this come at a different time in your life. So use the stage that you're at and the sensibility that you have to feel it as deeply as you can, and know that it's that the timing really is allowing you to see even deeper than you would have.
It's a river rushing through you. It's not going to stay with you forever.
Thank you. And I definitely learned tonight how important it is to honor how I feel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I would have just one question here. I feel quite lonely because, you know, a major shift just, you know, caused me to get rid of people.
Huge.
I guess. And, yes. And same thing with work. You know, I'm looking forward to starting something new, but it seems like all these things just they just don't want to work out. Is there anything you can offer on either or both of those?
On feeling lonely in general, you're going to feel lonely.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard for other people. If you can find a support group for people who've just lost a family member, while you're heading into this, you really won't feel like connecting with people about ordinary things.
Mm-hmm.
You're doing too deep work to just be happy, namby-pamby. But you could really bond and be with people who have also just lost somebody or who also are in life transition. It's time to go deep.
Yeah.
And if you deal with other people who have a family member dying or are you know, getting close to it, I'm sure there's support groups around there for people who've just in grief. And that will help you, you know, when in Pluto, it's like, you know, when falling, dive. We know when you're in Pluto, you can't make ordinary friendships, but you can bond deeply around Plutonian issues.
Okay.
And, you know, get involved with something that, even if it's not a job, if you do got involved with anything right now, it would be time to get to do this, something that reaches your heart at that deep level, some minor emergency that's affecting you. And around that with work, that may also affect how work, what works out for you. Again, I would say it's hard for you to start anything new until you're on the other side of that Moon-Pluto conjunction in 9 weeks. That happens once every 30 years. It's not often. It's not Mercury. Even in 3 days, Mercury has been in your 12th house for the last month and will be coming across your ascendant and giving you feeling like you can talk a bit more with other people. So I do think that you'll find yourself reaching out.
Thank you.
Yeah. Good luck.
Very helpful. Yeah. Thank you so much.
We're going to say goodbye now. Mark, you want to have anything that you want to say about the week ahead and thoughts that you want to leave people with?
I would say overall it's a good time to pay attention to your meditation or prayer, whatever way that you have of connecting with the world of sentient beings beyond yourself. And when you do that, be sure to promote peace. Okay.
That's wonderful. And I also say that it is a time when to use that analytical ability to notice your own actions at a deeper level. Become conscious of the glitches in yourself, the unspoken prejudice, the places where you feel stuck in your relations to others or where you feel stuck in relationship to yourself and your work. Give yourself room for the feeling, but then use that Mercury in Libra to guide you to a more honest, fair, equitable way of being with yourself and with others.
Good.
Good luck. This is Heather Rowan Robbins, rowanrobbins.com from Minnesota, saying goodbye. And Mark?
Mark Wolves, saying goodbye for this week. M-A-R-K-W-O-L-Z.
And your website?
Mm-hmm. It's M-A-R-K-W-O-L-Z at dharmarising, dharmarising.com.
Wonderful. Good night. Okay. See you next week. Bye.
Bye now.